Well, I hate to tell people that they would like something. The only person I ever say that to is Randy because he won't do anything unless you tell him to.
That's true. You just tell me, because me and you have pretty similar tastes most of the
Yeah,
time.
it's funny you say that because Victor and I had lunch today, and he almost said, I think you'd like it, but he's like, well, I don't want to presume to know what you would like, and I'm like, it's funny you say that because David Edmondson is probably the only person that I would let tell me what I would like.
I know your body, dude.
That's what I told him. I go, he knows my body. He knows what I get at every restaurant, and he even knows the PIN number to my debit card.
That's
God. You guys
The
started to meet each other earlier in life
I know
than you'd be married to each other.
we
Yeah, that's right. Still hold that hope.
It's never too late, you guys.
Maybe we drink a little too much one night, we're hanging out and explore each other's bodies.
It's natural, man. It's natural. God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night. No one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going? Hello, geek boys and girls. Welcome again to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Amanda, and as always, I am joined by Justin and Dave. How are you guys?
Fabulous, thank you.
Everything is awesome! Sorry.
Oh,
it's from
my
Lego
God.
Movie.
Speaking of the Lego Movie, did you go and see that this weekend, Dave?
I did, and loved every second of it. And if you see it, you'll have that song stuck in your head for the rest of your life, too. So go see it and get it stuck in your head so we can be like, everybody is awesome buddies.
Is there sing-along?
It's not no sing-along. It's just his favorite song on the radio.
Oh, okay.
It's to show that they're all conformists.
Oh.
And they gotta like fight. They gotta fight the man. It's an underdog story.
Who's the man? The kid that puts them together?
The man is Mr. Business, played by Will Ferrell, who wants to crazy glue all the Lego parts together so that they can't change and stuff like that. Because he wants to keep it in its perfect, pristine condition. But all these master builders like Batman and Han Solo and all these other cool characters like Gandalf, they're mucking it up by, changing things. Legos are meant to only be what's on the box. You're not supposed to make other stuff, according to Mr. Business.
Oh, so he's a bigot.
He's a little bit of one. But no, it's really good. It's Chris Pratt. I'm a big fan of Mr. Pratt, and I think it's going to be a big year for him with Guardians of the Galaxy. He does the voice of the main character, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. Elizabeth Banks is in it, Morgan Freeman, Will Arnett, Will Ferrell. It's kind of a who's who of Hollywood. Everyone wanted to throw their voice in this movie. Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, you name it, they're in it. And so, yeah, go check it out. I saw it this weekend, and I was very happy, but then I also saw Monument Men, and I wasn't as happy when I saw that movie.
Aw.
Oh, yeah, was it boring? Or was it boring?
Yeah, it's kind of it reminded me a lot of Ocean's 12. Like, I mean, not
but
not
doesn't
in like
that
a,
mean it would be awesome?
Because you know how, like, in Ocean's 12, you're watching it, and you can just picture what, like, a fun time they had making the movie, like, offset. Like, they're all just hanging out and having fun. But then when they're making the movie, it's, like, boring and stupid. And I really got that vibe, and everyone seemed to be phoning it in, like Bill Murray and Clooney and everyone, even Matt Damon. They were all just kind of, they almost seemed bored. And I can see why they kind of took it off of the shelf for like Oscar contention, because it would have just gotten tromped. It wouldn't have gotten any awards. Clooney directed it. It looked pretty, at its heart, it had a good story based off of real life events of, a group of men trying to save precious artifacts and art that Hitler was going to burn in the event of his defeat or death. But from a movie filled with all these big stars, you would expect, some form of, gravitas or like an Ocean's 11 vibe to where, even though that had everyone and their mother, like everyone shined. And this one, it wasn't so much that. It was just kind of, you were almost distracted by the big names on screen, and they really didn't seem terribly interested in being there. So it's kind of a bummer, but Lego Movie was pretty cool. That was worth it. And it showed in the box office. Lego Movie made $69 million, and Monument Man only made $22 million. So 69 is more than 22. It's slightly. I'm not a math guy, but I'm pretty sure it is more.
Okay.
And yeah, but yeah, I definitely recommend Lego Movie to families and adults. I think even people who don't have kids will find humor in it. Plus, Legos are just cool, you know. And it was awesome that they were able to use like all the franchises. Like people from Star Wars show up, people from DC show up, you know, people from like basketball players show up because they made like basketball Legos in like the 90s. So all of a sudden, like Shaquille O'Neal shows up, and it's cool because they use like the actual sets that were created. It's not like, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James don't show up because they were never made into Legos. And so it's almost a joke. Like, look, it's 1994 All-Star Shaquille O'Neal. And, yeah, it's just really good to see all these worlds kind of collide. Lord of the Rings, 1980s Space Guys. And, yeah, I liked it a lot.
What's a 1980s Space Guy?
Like the shuttle sets they used to make, like they had like just like this generic astronauts with like the blue helmet.
I see. Back when kids were going to space camp and shit.
Yeah. Back in the day when people cared about space.
They don't anymore.
Now it's all about the internet.
Obama canceled space.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, he put a big net over the earth and said no more.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So you guys are big fans of Akira, right?
No.
Me neither.
I hated that movie. I was like, I want that 2 hours of my life back.
It's terrible.
We are going to get some hate letters, I think, for that. But
it's overrated, it's boring as fuck, and it's just not good. I swear to God, I can't stand it. I like the first 5 minutes when it's like motorcycle gangs. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it's a guy.
Yeah, it just went off the rails.
Yeah, and then he turns into a blob, and it's boring.
And then at the end, it's just like, what did I just watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a huge fan of Akira. I mean, I get that a lot of people are, but, you know, they've been trying to make a live-action version of Akira forever. You know, last, like, 3 or 4 years, we keep hearing they're going to have a live-action version of Akira. You know, we've heard everyone attached to Star. We've heard, you know, Kristen Stewart, Helen Bonham Carter, Ken Watanabe, you know, all these people. They've had directors come and go, and I'm going to butcher his name, I think. Duam Kole Sera. Probably not correct pronunciation. He directed a movie called Unknown. He's been kind of attached to direct for the last 2 years, and Warner Brothers was hot to trot to make this one of their priority movies. And for whatever reason or not, just kept falling through the cracks. You know, they had script rewrites back and forth. But the director, Mr. Kolat Sera. Yeah. We don't have a fact checker here. There's like 26 consonants in this guy's name. Sue me. He comes out. He's come out and saying the live action version of Akira is definitely still a go. It's something that is being worked on, and it's not a forgotten project. So we may still actually see a live action Akira movie in, you know, the next couple years. I'm sure it can't be worse than the animated movie, but maybe I'm wrong.
Never know.
That's the problem. That's why it's taken so long, because they write it out and then they're like, wait a minute, we can't make this movie. It fucking sucks. And then now they got to find other people to make it better.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Kolat Sera is actually he's directed Nonstop with Liam Neeson.
Oh,
so
shit. They go to Comic-Con in that movie.
No, they don't, sadly. The other movie they go to Comic-Con see. Oh. The Liam Neeson-less movie.
Oh.
Liam Neeson is also in the Lego movie, just so you guys know.
Does he judo chop people to the face?
He plays good cop, bad cop.
Oh.
So his head keeps turning around. Because, you know, some Legos have, like, two sides of their face. And so he's one of those. So, Akira, obviously, the three of us aren't giant supporters. And I bet if we asked Randy, he'd say, what? Hey, Randy, have you seen Akira? What's Akira? All right, moving on. All right. Now, Terminator Genesis is a movie I know we're excited about because we all love Terminator, right? You guys are excited for Terminator Genesis?
Yes.
Arnold will be in it, as will Emilia Clarke, you know, from Game of Thrones as Sarah Connor. And Jason Clarke was originally in talks to play John Connor, but we haven't heard any kind of finalized casting on him. But we've heard that they've narrowed down their quest for Kyle Reese, John Connor's dad, down to two people. Jay Courtney, who was in A Good Day to Die Hard, Jack Reacher, I, Frankenstein, and who will be in Divergent this summer. And Boyd Holbrook, sorry. my brain stopped for a second, who's been on a lot of lesser-known movies. He was in the television movie Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace biopic for HBO. Which was great. He's more going to be known for his movies coming up. He's going to be in Fincher's Gone Girl. He's in Gavin O'Connor's Jane Got a Gun. And he's going to be in Terrence Malick's next film, which does not have a title. So I guess it's going to be one of those two people. I think it'll be real telling in the direction of the story based on which one of these people they cast, because one is a much more physical threat and the other one is a much more like cerebral, dark, brooding kind of actor, almost like how Chekhov played him in Salvation.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't that how Michael Biehn was too?
Well, but Michael Biehn was kind of like he was still like a military type guy. Like Michael Biehn's Michael Biehn. He's a stud. So those two are the main two. I don't know if either have a preference. Were you guys a fan of Mr. Courtney's work in A Good Day to Die Hard?
I hate that movie so much that I could care less.
Yeah. Did you see Jack Reacher?
I did see Jack Reacher. Was he in that?
He was in that.
Who was he? He's not Jack.
He is not Jack. No, he is not Tom Cruise. And I know you guys didn't see I, Frankenstein. No one saw that movie.
No.
That movie's already gone.
That was a big old flop.
Yeah, which is too bad. I like Aaron Eckhart. It's too bad he just can't pick better movies.
Yeah. You know, I like that other movie. I like Battle Los Angeles. I think I'm the only person that did like it, but I enjoyed that movie.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
And I like Nick Naylor. I shouldn't say fun. Nick Naylor's good. Thank You for Smoking. I love that movie, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
I think that's a very clever movie.
And he's good in The Dark Knight.
Yes, he is. He gets killed in that, though.
It does not end well for him. Spoiler alert, dude, man. Come on. You can't be throwing stuff out like that. He was also in Olympus Has Fallen. He was the president.
Oh, yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah, you gave that movie an A++.
Nah, I did not. I gave it an A-. He was also in Paycheck, which is one of my favorite Ben Affleck movies. Directed by John Woo.
Is that the one where Sinbad takes care of... No. That's not the one where the guy has a blank check and he writes Macintosh on it. And
No. That's Disney's blank check.
What movie did you say?
This is Paycheck. This is the
one where
Ben Affleck. I was just
talking about
blank
check with some friends of mine the other day.
Where Ben Affleck reverse engineers stuff, but since he can't know about the product, they like wipe his mind. So, you know, he eventually goes back, and Aaron Eckhart plays the bad guy who owns the company who wants to just kill Ben Affleck because Ben Affleck knows too much.
Oh.
Yeah. I forgot. And he was in Aaron Brockovich and Any Given Sunday.
Oh, and Aaron Brockovich. I didn't even recognize him because he's got the crazy black beard and blonde hair.
Yeah.
I thought that was like Viggo Mortensen. For minutes. It's like, whoa. Because they got the same chin. They went to like the shop at the same store for chins. And and it caught me off guard. I like Brockovich. That movie's cool. Yeah. And Albert Finney and Brian Cox, I swear, are like the same guy. I confuse those two in everything that they do. It's terrible.
And then they're both in... Blank Check. Both in Troy?
Albert Finney's not in...
No, Troy, never mind.
But Brian Cox...
Oh, that's...
Like,
no,
it's like Agamemnon or some shit.
It's the... Brendan Gleeson. The Mad-Eye Moody. He's in that movie. He looks like them as well. Speaking of terrible ideas, you guys all liked Escape from New York, right?
Love it.
Never seen it.
Carpenter, and I like Kurt Russell.
Snake Plissken is an awesome character, and Kurt Russell is obviously a badass who has yet to do a bad movie because everything he does is gold, and he's had a career for like 100 years, and he's still like, he could still kick my ass.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff since he was a kid.
Yeah, he gets around, and he's never really had like this like lull to where like he just wasn't relevant. Like every like couple years, he always makes a movie that's good.
No.
New Line, which made the first two Escape movies, Escape from New York and Escape from L.A., they had their proprietary rights for the Escape franchise lapsed about a year and a half ago, and Joel Silver, who produced The Matrix and Swordfish and pretty much every action movie from like 1984 to today, he bought the rights with the expectation that he was going to reboot the franchise. You know, Kurt Russell wouldn't be involved. It would be a complete retelling of the story. And there hasn't really been much word in the last year or so about the film. So he was speaking to Collider.com, and they asked him what the status on the project was, and he said, We still don't have a script, but we're working on it, and my goal, what I would love to do is see it turned into a trilogy. And he kind of elaborated a little more that the first film would be about how kind of like a Rise of the Planet of the Apes type movie, how New York turned into the cesspool and the prison that it eventually became, and that would kind of end with the elevation of Snake Plissken as this like badass anti-hero that everyone can get behind. And then the second part of the trilogy would be what we know as Escape from New York, but a retelling of it. And then the third one would be kind of like an Escape from LA, but he would rather it go back to New York. So keep the whole trilogy in one place and have that one end with New York kind of going back to the way it was somehow.
What do you mean by
pre-prison New York?
Okay. Still a bunch of scumbags, but legit.
Not prison.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was it's an interesting premise. I really liked Escape from New York, and I even like parts of Escape from LA, and I would love to see the world come back, but it's a franchise that's so ingrained in our mind as Kurt Russell that I don't know. I might have a hard time seeing someone step into his role, kind of like how we were talking a couple of podcasts ago about Indiana Jones. It'd just be hard for me to envision someone not Harrison Ford in that role. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you envision a Snake Plissken who's not Kurt Russell, and do you have any idea of who you would like to see in that role?
Oh, man, that's tough, dude. First of all, I love Kurt Russell. I love the Escape movies. And in fact, when I went and saw Air Force One, I think I got a popcorn bag that was, it had Snake Plissken on it for Escape from LA, and I hung on to it. I had it for about 10 years. I don't know what happened to it anymore. But it's got to be in one of my boxes somewhere, but I loved it so much.
You're like, just a crazy hoarder.
No, dude. He was like on a motorcycle wearing his black coat, and he had his little eye patch, and it looked really cool. So I hung on to it. And I love the man. And that would be hard, actually. There's one guy, though, that I kind of keep going to. From fucking Supernatural, and that's the guy who plays Dean, Jensen Ackles. I think he could probably do it.
Now, is he the guy who was in Smallville originally? Do you know do you know who I'm talking?
Oh, he was in Smallville. He was in Smallville.
Oh, okay, cool.
He was Jason Teague.
Jason Teague.
Yeah.
I think did well for Mr. Teague.
I think that he could do it. I think because he's got the face, and he's all buff, and he likes getting in fights, man. He's a cool dude. In fact, I kind of, when we were talking about who the next Batman, or not Batman, but fucking Han Solo, he was my pick for a standalone Han Solo movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
I just like that guy. He's cool.
Nice. Well, cool. That's pretty much all I got in the movie news, so hopefully we'll get some good news on it. So let's recap. Remake of Escape from New York, good. Remake of Akira, bad.
Right.
So if we were to bullet point this segment of the podcast. Following has been a paid advertisement from Geek Legacy.
RoboCop comes out this weekend, right?
It does. Oh. Can't wait
to... not out yet?
Uh-oh. I can't wait to not like it. It comes out Wednesday. So when you're listening to this, it comes out the next day.
Does it really? Oh, the 12th?
Yeah, it comes out on the Wednesday.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go see it.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be good.
Speaking of, RoboCop, the guy that was Bob that started that came up with the RoboCop program in the first RoboCop, he is in blank check. He's the one that runs over his bike and gives him the blank check.
Small world.
Yeah.
How did that movie end?
Which movie?
Cashed the check.
Blank check. At one point, they didn't have the money anymore.
Right. The criminals tried to get the kid, and I think Duffy might have been in the movie, and she's like a cop or an agent or something, and she was able to foil their plan with the kid, and they got arrested.
And the kid did 30 years for bank fraud.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't bank fraud.
No, he had a check. He was
given a blank check.
Yeah. This is true.
He just happened to put a dollar amount that they had the exact cash value up in their vault.
He was just trying to teach them a very valuable lesson.
Yes.
And he did.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the bad guy, bless his little heart, he says, here's the check, give it to your dad, he'll know what to do. The kid does not give the check to his dad.
Because he knows what to do with checks. Because he's not an idiot.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Dad would have made him give it back.
The responsible thing. Yeah, and he would have said, don't park your bike by cars, kid. Probably would have got grounded.
He's also in The Last Starfighter. Just throwing that out there.
Is he now?
Yeah, he plays Grig.
Anyway. So, this week was actually pretty exciting in television. The Walking Dead came back last night. Woo! Did you guys watch it?
I did.
What do you guys think? Oh, you just read my review.
I did. I was actually pretty optimistic from your review because you said that it kind of ended with a glimmer of happiness and hope.
It did. Mm-hmm. That is 100% accurate.
But so now they're all separate? I mean, I knew they were breaking up, so it's just, it's Michonne, Carl, and Rick, right?
Yes. And
so that means next week we're going to see a Daryl episode?
Judging by the previews, it looks like Beth and Daryl managed to escape together, and then I don't know who Tyrese is with.
Yeah, the way it was cut, it looked like he was with Beth. I was like losing my mind. I was like, who the hell is Tyrese with? And I didn't want to watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and then it looked like Maggie and Glenn, the bus got into an accident, so they're in dire straits.
That Beth is the one that was watching Judith, right? That's Herschel's daughter?
Right.
Okay, it's making sure.
She was watching it for a second, but then the little girls, I thought, took over. Didn't the little girls?
Oh, yeah. The little girls.
The little girls were carrying the car seat, I think.
Yeah. I forgot about them.
Is the fate of Judith still up in the air, or do we know
her ultimate fate? It's up in the air.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which means she's not dead.
Yeah. Kirkman has been very careful with his words when speaking about Judith. So.
You know,
I don't want to see no zombie baby.
I wasn't prepared to see Herschel's head as a zombie.
I know, me neither.
That caught me off guard. That was crazy. Yeah, that was a little sad. And I didn't really like that. I felt bad.
But yeah, it's like if you don't want Walking Dead spoilers, not that it's super spoilery, you might want to skip ahead. But so when Michonne walks up on Herschel's head on the ground and then like stabs him in the head and then just like, you know, gently like puts her hand on it like saying goodbye to him, she like kind of teared up.
I was under the impression that she did that to pull her sword out instead of using her foot, like as like a way of like
respect. Well, yeah she did, but then she also like her hand just kind of rested there for a little bit.
I see.
You know,
I was eating. I was probably looking down at my food. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I do that. I'm a sloppy eater. I had chocolate on my chin for like 2 hours yesterday.
What happens when you live alone? Or not live alone, but don't go out a whole lot. I don't know. Sorry.
You stop wearing pants.
It was the evening time. I had retired for the evening, and I wasn't going anywhere. I was sitting in my panties eating ice cream with a blanket. I was cold, but I had this wicked craving for ice cream. And then I went into the bathroom there, and I saw that I had chocolate.
Where was your wife?
She was sleeping on the couch, I think. It happened twice, actually. I ended up having... Okay, so... Yeah, I was telling you guys last week that I lost all this weight and I was all excited. Well, I kind of had a cheat weekend, and I actually had ice cream twice on Sunday. I had it after my lunch and my dinner. Oh, I know. And after my lunch, I had ice cream on my chin, and then after my dinner, I had ice cream on my chin. Terrible. I don't know how to eat.
I used to have trouble with ice cream.
I was absent that day. But, no, it was a fun episode. I think Carl kind of got on my gut dang nerves for about 40 of the 42 minutes that the episode is. But he came around. I was like, man, this kid needs to be humbled, like, in a bad way. And I liked the way that they did it when he thought that his dad had turned.
Had died.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. You know, he just lied. He just gave up. You know, he's like, I can't do it. And, that he just showed his true colors.
Yeah.
Ugh. I see your true colors.
I think you're such a grown-up.
Yeah. Fucking teenagers.
Really, you're just some dumb kid eating pudding on a roof.
Right. And see, that's the... See, he didn't have a sibling, like an older sibling.
Yeah.
Like, the oldest child writes the book on what not to do for the younger kids. And if you pay attention, you could have the best childhood ever. Like, no joke, I did the opposite of Jennifer growing up, and I was a saint. It was awesome.
It's like, what not to do.
Yeah.
Could have taught my brothers a thing or two. Well, actually, if I think about it, they did do exactly the opposite of me.
Right.
Things did not turn out well for them.
You were the exception. You turned out A-okay.
Well, actually, middle one's not doing so bad.
Yeah, he's going to space.
He's
going to
be a freaking doctor.
I know.
Doctor of science.
He's too smart for me. He was talking about fucking matter and antimatter, and I was like, dude, don't. I'd run a leaky website. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're like from like Star Trek?
Yeah.
Like red matter?
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, take what he says with a grain of salt, too. He's also full of bullshit.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Oh, but, man, did you guys watch that debate between Bill Nye the Science Guy and that one religious dude?
No, I just saw the aftermath on BuzzFeed.
Oh, man, it was cool. It's available on the YouTubes there. It's about 2.5 hours, though.
Yeah, I didn't want to sit through that.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal.
And I don't really need Bill Nye to convince me that evolution is a thing.
No, I know. And it was just a really... He was making some really good points. If I was on the fence, the only problem was that like the fucking creationist museum or institute or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Home field advantage.
Yeah. And so even when his name was called, he got like 3 claps. And if I were on the fence between the two, he would have convinced me that he knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other guy, he's like, you know, you're talking to me about tree rings and how old the planet is. Well, bottom line, you weren't there. You don't know because you weren't there. You know, the Ark, you know, it's...
That's his whole argument.
Yeah, that we weren't there. That was his entire argument. And
that
so,
could also be the same argument for why everything he believes isn't true.
Exactly, because he wasn't there when, like, the Bible was written.
Bill Nye should have been, I was there, yeah. I'm Jesus.
He was under the impression that the Earth is 6,000 years old. Oh my God, it was painful. And Bill Nye's like, okay, even if you got like 40 of like the greatest engineers in the world and shipbuilders, and you gave them a wooden boat to build the size of the Ark that would hold all these animals, it wouldn't work. He's like, they couldn't do it. And you're going to tell me that Noah and his wife and a couple of friends built this? Oh, it was funny. He's like, I find that extraordinary. It was really, really good. He just made me laugh. So check it out.
I didn't even know they had this debate. Is this why everyone's posting all these pictures of like people with like notepads writing like about oh man.
Yes, that's why.
Like, I think I read yours, Amanda, like you posted something
about those pictures came from after the debate.
Yeah, and like the one with like the what he was doing the Big Bang, and he's like he's like, well, there's no sound space, so it was more like this. And he's just like all quiet and slow. Yeah, it was so good. We ended up watching the whole thing, which I wasn't prepared to do, but it ended up being really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds fun. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But, yes, I mean, I was reading through the cards that the creationists wrote, and I couldn't even get through them all. They were so stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Like, they weren't even arguments. They were just like, sunsets are pretty, so that means God is real.
Right. Well, it's the problem with BuzzFeed is that, you know, obviously the article writers and people on BuzzFeed are, or the people who submitted the article are on Bill Nye's side, and so I'd like to think that they just chose the stupidest
options, dude,
from the creationists.
No, it was bad. Ken Ham was his name. I actually tweeted Bill Nye. I was like, just watch the debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham. At Science Guy, you're my hero. Our world could use more reasonable people. Keep it up. Because like, he's like, he could say, you know, as a reasonable man, I can't believe that this is true. It was really funny. Oh, God.
As an educated person, I can't believe you think this.
To be fair, though, they did another list with evolutionists, mm-hmm. and the evolutionists were equally annoying.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure everybody's annoying. But the cool thing about Bill Nye is he has this talent of explaining things to people that maybe aren't specialists in that field to a degree that we can understand. And I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I could sit there and listen to him talk for hours and understand just about every single thing that comes out of his mouth. If I watch some fucking show on Netflix on how the universe is made and they start talking about these different measurements and increments of time and stuff, I lose my shit. I'm like, I do, my fucking head hurts and I can't watch this shit anymore.
Right. He's used to explaining things to kids.
Right, and it works. And I'm
so
like,
so we can understand.
Yeah, I clap. I'm like, oh, singularity. Ah, oh, clap. I know what that means. But it's really fun. So I dug it. And you guys should check it out. Just fucking Google
I'll check it out.
Bill Nye and Ken Ham debate and it's on.
So Carl was annoying, but I thought that Michonne's storyline was really the best part of the episode because we got to see, or we got a sense of more of her backstory. I didn't read far enough in the comics I didn't read far enough to the point where Michonne showed up, so I didn't know anything about her when she came on the TV show. And so I think in the comics she was not married, right?
Correct.
Did she have a child?
I don't believe so. In the comics, she's like an actual person. Like, she's not like this like mute nobody. Like, she's like flirtatious towards Tyrese, and it's been a while, but I don't believe she had a child. I think that's kind of how they're explaining in the show why she's kind of morose and to herself.
So they took it in a very different direction on the show. And then, like, a couple episodes back when she started sobbing uncontrollably while holding Judith, we find out for sure that she did have a child and lost him. And I think it sort of suggested that her husband might have killed their son because he didn't see the point of them all trying.
He lost the will to
live. Yeah, he lost the will to live. But Michonne didn't. And that whole scene, like, in her dream was just, like, crazy. Because, like, I mean, obviously, like, that setting wasn't... I don't think that was... I think that they're suggesting that that wasn't really where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
But it just that juxtaposition of this completely different life, and then their conversation slowly moving towards reality was just crazy.
Yeah, they were like almost wearing clothes from a different time period.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where they were wearing like survival gear almost,
mm-hmm.
and then losing their shit. And, you know, she had her sword and then the little kid. Yeah, that was intense.
It was very good.
And then she mowed like down...
Five minutes of television?
Yeah. And then she mows down, like, the 20 walkers. I was thinking about that, too. You know how she's walking with the crowd?
Yeah.
And I would almost feel like, me personally, I would get some form of, like, shell shock. Just hearing, like, their moaning and grunts and stuff. Mm-hmm. That I would just lose my shit, and I wouldn't be able to take it anymore. And that after, like, 2 minutes. Like, even when Rick was breathing all heavy, I'm like, God damn it, wheezing old man, stop it!
Can't take this she shit was no
going,
more.
She was going kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Walking Dead was good. Hopefully that will be the same tenor of the rest of them. I think probably the fact that they focused on just a few characters helped a lot. As opposed to jumping back and forth between 10 different people every 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it again. moving on.
But see, I think that's another thing why, I think that's why Lost was so good too, is that, you know, you had like 16 characters, but for the most part, there was one character that got its focus each week, and then there would be some subplot involving, you know, 3 to 5 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never overwhelming or irritating, unless it was a Kate episode. Started out
in which case there was no saving that episode. Yeah.
Her flashbacks tended to be okay. I just hated her attitude on the island. But whatever. That's another podcast.
Because she was always squinting.
And her hair was always wet.
She's always staring right in the sun.
Yeah. Goddamn freckles. Anyway. What else you got?
Oh, yeah. So, it was yesterday, I guess? HBO released a 14-minute long featurette of the upcoming season of Game of Thrones, and it gave us like a much more in-depth look at what to expect. We got a glimpse of Joffrey's wedding, which that looks like it's going to be a crazy episode, just the setting alone. I wanted them to stop so I could look at their costumes more, because they look like they're going to have like some freaking awesome costumes for that episode.
Right, because people from all over Westeros come, so you'll have all the different regions there, which is pretty neat. Yeah. And they kind of mentioned that in the book, too. As people are arriving, you know, everyone's got their own little, you know, what do you call it, fanfare of sorts.
Yeah, and he's the king, so everyone is coming out in their finest gear.
Mm-hmm. Top hats and monocles.
Yeah.
Now, without spoiling anything, do you think that the finale of this season is going to be the Joffrey wedding aftermath or the wall?
I think it'll be the wall. I think that's
how they'll end this.
Yeah, because I think the wedding will probably happen around the midpoint of the season.
Yeah.
I would say by episode 4 or 5. Four if we're lucky, but probably five.
I was more referring to what happens after as a result of the wedding.
Uh-huh. I understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the wall bit will be, you know, the episodes 8 and 9 kind of thing. It might even be, you know, how the 9 is always like the crazy shit goes crazy episode.
Uh-huh.
Battle of Blackwater and Red Wedding and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the siege on the wall was that, but it would be even better if it was a multi-episode thing. Because, you know, it's a pretty epic battle, and that would be kind of lame to just have only one episode.
Right, with giants and all that stuff.
Do you think
it'd be a cool end to end it with the new commander type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'd be the final thing you see.
Right. Because most of this, don't all the seasons end with Daenerys, though?
Always.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But he could have a Daenerys moment.
Right.
If they did it right, but whatever.
Like looking up at the wall.
That's neither here nor there. We can talk about that after the podcast.
Right.
Oh, shit. Card.
Who else was there? Oh, we finally get to see Jamie without that crazy beard and.
Yeah, he looks good.
Looking like a hobo.
Oh.
It's been like 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets captured at the end of season 1.
And that was pretty cool when he showed the armor to Brienne, too. You know, when he removed like that little cloth and there was like that sweet silver digs for her to have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I dug that, too. And you get to see him practicing left-handed. It's like a really, really brief clip, but you see him at King's Landing.
Pain.
Yeah, that was cool. And then you see Arya with Needle practicing with her sword. I thought that was cool. And then just seeing her and the Hound walking together.
Hound.
Oh, that was so cool. I love their dynamic. I think it's great.
Right. I'm going to kill you tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Have a good night. Good work today. I'll surely kill you in the morning.
You know, that's how she feels with him. But I genuinely think that he would just do just about anything for her.
Yeah.
He's so lonely.
He is. People want to be loved.
And at his heart, he's not a terrible person. He's done terrible things, but he's probably one of the more tragic people in Westeros.
Yeah.
He's got that dick of a brother.
Yeah, big dick.
Hey, it is an HBO show.
Ricardo Grande, he's a mountain. Something that rides. And that's another thing. I am so looking forward to
Yeah, we're gonna see more of him.
Yeah, that fight between Oberyn Martell and the mountain that rides. That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. And they got the Book 5 faction going on in this season.
Which like, one?
The
Which
part with like Daenerys and people coming to her with problems and the dragon fucking burning goats and people. You saw clips of that.
Yeah, they're fast forwarding.
That's Book 5 stuff.
Because she's so goddamn interesting.
No, I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea that they're merging things.
Right. Yeah, because that stuff's that's happening simultaneously.
Right. And she's obviously not even in Book 4, so that would for Season 5.
God, it even happens in Book 4. Nothing.
They'll do Book 4 and 5 together. They have to.
Right. Well, because remember, the first half of Book 5 is happening at the same time as all of Book
5. Right. So yeah, they could meld 4 and the first half of 5 into one season and then have Book 5, but second half of Book 5 be its own season.
Right. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it looks good. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Yeah. Season 3 was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of let down by Season 2, but Season 3 was awesome, and Season 1 was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you know what? They even combined Bran Book 5 stuff, too, because, you know, he's just touching the tree, and that's totally the part when he asks, you know, am I ever going to walk again? And it's like, no, but you will fly. I was like, oh, my God!
They're taking the two uninteresting characters and sandwiching them in the action-packed, exciting series. Season.
Right. I didn't even recognize Bran when he was talking about when Master Lumen died.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows him for a second. He's got this crazy Fabio haircut.
He's all blonde now?
No, but it's just long, like Fabio.
He looked... No, but he, I know. I thought he looked blonde.
I think it's still dark.
Oh.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. But look...
Shit don't matter.
Looks good.
Can't wait.
Mm-mm. Really excited.
Yeah.
Let's see. So in other TV news, it was announced this week that what's his face from the OC?
Ben McKenzie.
Ben McKenzie. He's going to be playing Commissioner Gordon before he became Commissioner in the new Gotham show.
So yeah. He's going to be Detective Gordon? Is that what they're going to call him?
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, he's been playing a cop in Southland for years, so I think he can pull it off.
Do either of you watch Southland, or did you watch Southland?
Mm-hmm. I remember watching a little bit of it in the beginning, but I didn't stick with it.
It's pretty good. When it was on NBC, it was kind of tame and just like a normal, like LA, or LA, Law & Order type cop show. But when it went to TNT and it got a little more edgy, It was really good. They tackled some pretty cool subject matter, so I'm pretty excited. I was a big fan of the OC. I'm the only one, but I loved him as Ryan, Ryan Atwood, the troubled teen from Chino. And
don't steal my car or anything.
Chino. Ew. Yeah. And then I love him in Southland. He's awesome. He's been in a couple movies that he's been really good in, and. When I heard that he was going to be Gordon in Gotham, I was like, oh, maybe I'll check this out. My interest went from about a 4 to about an 8.
Oh, shit. 6 to midnight.
6 to midnight in this house. So I'm excited.
I like it.
I think it'll be good.
I think it's interesting that you weren't excited for it, but now you are.
I wasn't that I wasn't. I was just, we were in such the early development stages that I've just learned over the years that until I start seeing like tangible things mm-hmm. with rumors and everything, you know, the same thing. I'm going to be at an 11 for Star Wars Episode 7, but right now there's just so many rumors and shit to just weed through that it just gets so taxing and exhausting to try to keep up with everything mm-hmm. to where it kind of cuts into my interest level. And so when I'm sure once we get a trailer for Gotham or we go to Comic-Con and there's a panel about Gotham, you know, I'll be excited.
They need to have a pilot for a Comic-Con.
That'd be awesome.
I think they did for S.H.I.E.L.D., so
yeah,
the realm of possibility. Because then they would still have, you know, 3 more months to get a couple episodes in.
Yeah, better get on it then.
You know, by the time the fall rolled around.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be dark, because I think S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, they didn't start filming until, I want to say, end of March, beginning of April, and they had an hour-long episode ready for Comic-Con in July, so, you know, if they get their shit together and start filming in the next, you know, month and a half, they can get an episode by Comic-Con. And I think that was, like, the best fan service ever, that Joss Whedon went to Comic-Con with the pilot for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and said, "Don't tell anybody."
Right.
I think that'd be good for Gotham.
And good for the Gander. Well, that does it for this week's episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We apologize there's no list or game this week, but we will be back to our old tricks next Tuesday. Please tune into our other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We have the Pixelated Podcast every Friday, where we highlight video game news for the week, and we also have the Comic Corner Podcast, where Jeff and Tyler review comics currently on their pull list. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, @Geek Legacy, and remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you!